Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, you Four Quarters with Coach Lee. You are rocking Four Quarters. Did I say Four Quarters? Four Quarters with Coach Lee here on Blog Talk Radio. Yes, yes, that's me. I'm your host with the most, Coach Lee. And all we do is talk about women's football here on Blog Talk Radio. Four Quarters with Coach Lee. You know, hey, it is about that time. We're going to kick this thing off. We're not going to do the commercial thing. We're going to just jump right into the game. You know what I'm saying? Because it's about that time. It is about that time for us to do what we do. And if you like what you hear, you can always call in and add to the mix at 347-826-7278. All you have to do is just drop the one button or push the one button, and you'll be able to jump right on in and talk with Coach Lee, you know, any topic, anything, any comments or whatever's going on. But you know what? Let's get this party started. And we're going to get it started real quick. And we're going to do the sound effect. You know how it goes. And it's a deep, deep, deep kick. Even out the end of camp, we want our folks to start up at the 20-yard line, on the 20-yard line, and have to drive down 80 yards to start scoring on our wonderful defense. But the bottom line is this. Hey, we are here to talk women's football and all that good stuff. Hold on one sec. I dropped some things here. My bad. I'm trying to get some things going. But the bottom line is this, yo. We are talking about football. Football. Women's football is what we do. But let's talk about Women's Football Camp and Conference. For all y'all that don't know, yes, the Women's Football Camp and Conference is this. Oh, no, not this. In 2.5 weeks. January 7th through the 10th, 2010, on the campus of UNLV, that's University of Las Vegas, Nevada, campus at the Live Complex. You can go over to womensfootballcamp.com to check out the information that's up there. Check out the information on how to register. Yes, there's still spots. There are still spots. There are still spots. But, you know, hey, people are doing what they're doing. We got a great crowd coming in. We're going to have a great mix of people from all over the United States. We got the coaches excited. The speakers are excited. It's going to be a great program. And, you know, in the past I had a couple of guests on here. But, again, it's hard getting my guests on during the football season on Monday night because Monday night football takes precedence over anything. So, you know, hey, that's all right. But we will get some more guests on here. We get it going. We get it rocking and rolling. And the bottom line is the Campus Conference is about you. It's about you getting better. It's about you improving yourself and the product. And speaking of the you, have anybody seen that the you on 30 for 30, something like that, that ESPN special? Well, I was playing ball back in those days in 1991 during that U championship run, and I actually got a chance to see us playing. I didn't see myself, but, yeah, we played the U, and we lost 55-0, so that's something I can always laugh at. You know, Cal State University of Long Beach, shout out. No longer have a football program, but you know what? They're working on it. They're working on getting it back. But, yeah, going back to that, I got to get off the topic sometime because that's just Coach Lee. That's me. My brain is moving, shaking and baking, doing what I do because I got to do it because that's what it's all about. So, anyway, getting back to the camp and conference. It's going to be great. That's all I got to say. And I know I talked to the coaches even this past weekend in regards to our program. It's going to be a tight program, practice and everything. For those who don't know, yes, it is a full-contact camp. No, we're not going to be doing scrimmaging and tackling, you know, to the ground and stuff like that. But one of our sponsors, Rogers Athletic Equipment, is a full-fledged sponsor of this camp, and we'll be providing the tackling dummies and the sleds, the chutes, and some of the other equipment that will be provided, as well as Spalding, are involved in this program as far as the balls are concerned. So, you know, like I said, it's growing. Each and every year it's going to grow, and it's the premier camp for women's football. It's the only camp in the United States, it's not the world, that is catering itself to building women's football. So, you know, that's what it is. It is what it is. Those who want to participate as guest speakers or coaches can always email us at womensfootballcamp@yahoo.com. Again, that's womensfootballcamp@yahoo.com. I mean, I know we got 2010 camp and conference already lined up and rocking and rolling, but as soon as we finish this and take the surveys from the players and participants, we'll be working on the 2011 camp. And like I said, this is something that's going to be here continuously. It's only going to grow and get better and better. I know eventually we try to go out on the road this year, you know, because, again, some of the comments from the first camp was, well, it's on the West Coast, and, you know, most of the teams are on the East Coast, and you know, we put a filler out there to find out, you know, if it was in the city on the East Coast, what would be the best city, because it don't have to always be in Vegas. It definitely don't have to be in Vegas. We want to be a part of the football, the women's football world, and where we're going to get the, you know, the biggest and the best turnout is where we want to be. So, again, if you have any questions or concerns about when and where 2011 Campus Conference will be, email us at Women's Tackle Football. Not Women's Tackle Football. Man, I got so many things going on. At Women's Football Camp at Yahoo.com. Woo, man. You know, that's just how it is today for me. You know, I'm even walking outside. It's chilly out here in the desert. But, again, we really want those who want to get involved in women's football camp to be there. And it's definitely a once-in-a-lifetime experience. And we're going to rock and roll. But anyway, we're going to press the time. We're going to press. We're going to move forward. Let's jump into the second quarter real quick. I'm not in front of a clock, so I don't even know if the time is up or what. But end of the first quarter, going into the second quarter. Let's talk about. Let's do about. Let's make up. Let's talk about schedules and scheduling. From my understanding, that the leagues are putting out the schedules, and I'm actually working on the schedules personally. And for all those that don't know, it is not an easy task putting together schedules. I don't care, you know, what team, what league, or what independency you are, if you are independent, it's just difficult. Because, again, you're looking 5 months in advance, and you're trying to determine if you're going to have a football field or not. And for those new teams or even old teams who really don't have a secure field because you don't have the relationships, with the schools or the venues that you're using, you know, you got to put these dates in and get them in and then get them back so that the leagues or the teams that you plan on playing are, sorry about that, but the teams that you are playing are able to accommodate those things. And I know how difficult it is because when we first started as Las Vegas Showgirls in 2006, we had a verbal agreement with the athletic director and vice principal, which is the same person, at one of the high schools that we're going to use here called Western High School, which is in the middle of Las Vegas. We were waiting around for our league certificate because that was part of us renting the facilities, having not a league certificate, but league insurance or insurance on your team that's provided by the league. So if you're independent, you can go out and purchase your own insurance. But in the meantime, in between time, the paperwork was just sitting on the desk of the vice principal slash AD. And in the same time, you know, I'm promoting, because I'm a promoter, you know, Las Vegas Showgirls, we're going to be playing our home games at Western High School. We're on the news, you know, getting a lot of interest and everything else. And then the principal jumped in and was asking questions of, where is our paperwork at? And it was sitting on the desk. And you know, like I said, we were just waiting on our insurance so that we can turn in all the appropriate paperwork. And that's something that teams don't understand. You know, you got to have your insurance in hand when you're securing school district property. And a lot of organizations don't understand that. They think, you know, you can just go and talk to the football coach and you got a feel. Well, in the old days, it used to be that way. But then it became, you know, money laundering and under the table payments and, you know, people getting this for free, and then the school district gets the bill, and the lights were on, and, you know, an incident that happened or occurred, you know, somebody got hurt, or there was a police incident, and the school district didn't know. So now these school districts have really tightened down the hatches on all that stuff. But here I was going through, you know, the proper channels and just waiting on some paperwork to be done. But in the meantime, hey, I went out and said, this is going to be our home field. And we did not get the field. The principal stood her guard and said, no, she don't want women's football on her campus. So we went through the whole summer without even having a football field. In the meantime, the league that we were playing in had submitted us our final schedule, and we finally got our insurance, and we went back to the school because I had a good relationship with the AD slash vice principal, and the principal said no. And so we tried to move forward and go to another high school, and they said no because the principal badmouthed us and said that, you know, basically she didn't want our kind at, you know, playing football at her school or any other school that she has friends at, which were all the principals. But we went around and around and around all the way up until, what, 40, I want to say 48 hours up to our first game. We did not have a secure football field until I had to pull a rabbit out of a hat, get down to the school district and actually confront the superintendent because we were willing to pay. It's not like we wanted anything free. We had all our paperwork. And, you know, and again, I'm talking about scheduling, but these are the things that you as teams and your team owners and team management have to go through. And, of course, I don't tell my young ladies, my football players, what's going on. Their job is to concentrate on football. You know, management does what they're supposed to do. Football players do what they're supposed to do. And that's what we wind up doing. And within 48 hours before our first game, you know, we finally got the paperwork signed and everything was approved, and we wind up playing our game, and it went well. And, you know, and we wind up playing two games at that particular field. And then we wind up having to go to another field because of conflict of interest, meaning there was a school event going on. And, of course, you being a community organization, paid or not paid, school functions automatically bump anything outside of the community, you know, community-based functions. So we had to move to another venue that year within, what, 24 hours again before that particular game. So scheduling is very important to get your paperwork in now to get deduction in a row and, you know, have some flexibility on those dates. You know, again, everybody's situation is different, but we go through the same thing. We were promoting the same sport, which is women's football, and most of our people who are in control of these schools or facilities have never heard of women playing football. They think it's something from outer space or something. You know, what is that? It's the same football game that you see, 11 on 11 every day, be it high school, college, Pop Warner football, pro, whatever. But they just couldn't get the concept of women football. You know, so a lot of the principals and administrators are scared of that, and then they're also scared of you getting hurt. The bottom line is you can get hurt walking down the street and chewing bubble gum and get hurt. If you got insurance, you got insurance, you know, and that's what it's all about. If you're willing to pay the deductibles to get there, then, hey, then you should get it. Now, that's a whole other issue on scheduling. You know, should I schedule a high school stadium? Should I schedule a junior college stadium? Should I schedule a private school? You know, it all depends on where you're at. You know, our school district here in Las Vegas want to charge $5,000, $5,000 to host football games. They don't care what the crowd size is or whatever. If you're a nonprofit, I think it's $3,500. If you're for-profit, it's $5,000. You know, some other schools are more lenient. You know, private schools set their own standards and principles of, you know, what they want on their campus and what they charge. You know, we pay $1,000 at the facility that we are at now, which is a private school. And they're more willing to work with you because, again, they're not a district. They're not getting money from the school district. They're pretty much a entrepreneur type of industrial, you know, do-it-ourselves. What we bring in is what we make attitude, you know. So, again, private schools have been good to us, at least here in Vegas, and it might be good for you out there in whatever football land you're in, but that's something to look into. And, again, we still hadn't even talked about scheduling, you know. So, again, here we are in November, December, and a lot of these schools don't even know what the plans are until the end of December as far as what their spring sports are going to hold up. And, you know, most high school facilities don't have games on Saturday, so it's pretty cool. But then you got other spring sports such as soccer, you got lacrosse, you got track and field, stuff like that that will be using that football area. So then once you get around that, then you can secure your dates. You know, for me, the ultimate way to do it is to have teams go get eight available dates. Go get eight available Saturday dates from your facility and turn them into the league, and then have the league work the schedule around the dates that you submitted. So, again, that means you got to be in your P's and Q's as management of your football team and get those things in. You know, you got to get those things in. All right. Sorry about that. So, again, get it together, get it rolling, get it shaking and baking, but get those dates in. That way the committees that are putting together these schedules can work around you instead of you working around the schedules that they give to you, because it don't always work that way. It doesn't always work because a league wants you to have, here's your schedule, it's up to you to go get your dates. Because if that's the case, you might be playing at four different home fields, which won't be good on your fan base. So, you know, that's, again, as an owner of a team, that is my reasoning or my opinion of how a schedule should be generated based on the eight dates between this month and that month. So if you got a 10-week schedule, basically say from the first weekend of April, which is when we all normally start anyway, ain't no top secret there, we all start about the same time. But if you can formalize those eight dates and say, these are eight dates that we have, or can we get four out of these eight dates available? Or is all eight available? And then it doesn't matter. It makes it so much easier on those committees that are putting together the schedule, because we don't have to keep revamping those things. You know, I think right now the schedules that you see, I think they're going to be changed anyway. It's just the nature of the beast. You're going to have some teams that were in, and they all of a sudden they're going to be out. So guess what? You got to reschedule those based on the dates. You know, nothing's guaranteed in this world. So the bottom line is this, you know, do the best that you can with the 8 dates and get them into the committee and allow that committee to formalize your schedule. Now, the other aspect of the schedule, again, speaking from an owner's point of view, you know, I want my schedule to be within a certain budget. Yes, I want to play the best teams possible, but if my budget is not able to get me across and go play, Boom Shakalaka Boom on the East Coast, I'm just making up a name, and I'm here on the West Coast. Do I have a $20,000 reserve in my budget to just, you know, take that flight? You know? Yeah, it would be a hell of a game. It would be a great game. But, you know, the reality is we don't have that much money to do that. So, you know, again, in my humble opinion, hey, I think women's football should be just regionalized, period. Until you're, and if you're good enough, you get out to region and you go play, you know, as a regional champ to go play other regions in the national playoff, and then hopefully make the national championship game. But that's what makes more sense than I want to see this good team and that good team play each other during the regular season just because. Now, if they've got the means, then that's great. But most of us don't have the means to get across the country to play all these games, to play, you know, to get on 3 flights and be full strength when we go on those flights. You know, that's just the reality. You know, I run the women's type of football group.meme.com board, and you get a bunch of people who not even involved in women's football as far as management and management is concerned, and wondering why, you know, leagues aren't putting this team up against that team. Or how come these teams won't play these teams? The bottom line is, it got to be within reason. You know, that's the whole thing. You know, I'm an advocate for women's football, and I think that all women's football teams across the country, no matter where you at, are in the same boat. Same boat. Some of us got players that played for 5-6 years. But most of the time, we're turning over about 20% of rookies, easy 25 to 30% of rookies. So we're always continuously teaching. It's just those who keep a certain core of girls on their team or ladies on their team that wind up getting better. As you keep a core together, you get better. So, you know, I'm not a tier believer at this point in time because as an owner, it doesn't help me financially. And like I said, I run the Ning board and, you know, I observe and I put my 20 cent in here and there on my humble opinion. But most of the time, I'm just there watching and reading and seeing, you know, how other folks are thinking. And then I just self-correct some just sometimes to let them know that the reality is it's financial. It's financial. And I think there's a couple of issues on there. How come this league don't play that league or whatever, during preseason or postseason or whatever, that should be the ability of the owners that own the team, if they're promoting, you know, their team in their region and want to create a rival and stuff like that, should they have that option? That's a whole other subject. But, again, it comes down to scheduling. You know, again, going back to scheduling, as a coach now, not as an owner, but as a coach, you know, we talk about preseason games and whatever, you know, I don't want to play – or in the preseason, a team that I'm going to already play 2 or maybe 3 times already during the year because they're on my schedule. You know, because my fans get bored with it, the players get bored with it, and the bottom line is I don't want to show my cards to, you know, like a poker game. Yes, you know, we can get out there and hit and whatever, and that's fun and all, but you can't really see what you really got if you're holding back. And at times, I think a lot of coaches are actually holding back on what's going on, you know. So, as a coach, I like to play other teams that I don't play during the season because it just makes it that much better for my team. And I'm able to see what I really got as a coach. So now, still sticking on the subject. I know the subject is long, y'all. This might be the whole game. I don't know yet. But the fact is, scheduling is one hard mamma jamma. It is one hard thing to put together. It's only easy if you got an even number of teams. If you're going to do a home and away series, you know. So far, over the last 10 years that I've been seeing women's football, it's always a home and away series. You know, if you look at the high school level and their scheduling, it's every other year home and then away playing that team. That way you can get all your games in. But when you got a limited number of teams, you know, it's hard to get in all your games. So if you had 9 teams, it would be a lot easier to play each team one time, and that way you got 8 games automatically. The way we got it set up now, we have, 4 to 5 teams in each region or each league or division, however you want to call it, and doing the home and away thing. I prefer, and making it a lot easier, playing everybody once in your region and getting your 8 games in. And so trying to break it down and split between one game with this team and one game with that, because the tiebreaker at the end is, you know, it ain't on the field. It would definitely be, you know, somebody else would be in control of, you know, how you did against the other team. That's why we got these scores that were one up. But Coach Lee, how is that involving scheduling? Again, from owner's perspective, we want to do it within budget, within a reasonable budget. As a coach, we want to play the best. You know, we want to play the best. The bottom line is we want to be on the field. And for me, I play anybody who's in front of me. It doesn't matter to me. I play who I play. If you're good, you're good. If you're not, you're not. If that's what the schedule say, then let's get it done. You know, because the bottom line, you know, everybody been at the beginning stage. Everybody's been here and been there. So, you know, it is what it is. But everybody got to know that it's not easy putting together schedules when you got teams that might be 500 miles, 700 miles, 800 miles away from each other. I know here on the West Coast, it's probably the hardest scheduling of all. Because, again, the teams are so spread out, you know. No matter what league you look at, the teams are still spread out. I think the IWFL have, 3 teams in the metropolitan area of Los Angeles, which is great. But, again, from what I'm hearing and what I've seen, not even all 3 of those teams don't even play each other twice, you know. As an owner of a team, I'm thinking, that doesn't make any sense. You know, that's 2 extra home games, basically. So you got 6 games and 2 or 6 home games and 2 away games, how that could have been set up. But, you know, like I said, it is what it is. I'm not in the boardroom. I don't make decisions on those things. But I'm saying from an outsider's point of view, and as a coach's point of view and as an owner's point of view, that makes sense. And that's what women's football has to be. You got to make sense at some of the decisions that are being made out there. You got to be flexible. You can't be stubborn. You know, you got to be able to flex your schedule. You got to be able to, you know, to work with your partners, as I call it. Every team that's in the league are a corporation. They need each other, and you got to be flexible and be willing to work with each other. You know, as far as that schedule. And then once it's solid, then let's work it. And then you still have issues throughout the season. I know a couple of years ago. I think it was a playoff run where the NWFA playoff. I want to say the Kentucky Karma and the LA Amazon first round of the playoffs wind up being a forfeit due to the fact that Kentucky didn't budget these flying all the way over to the West Coast, you know. And wind up forfeiting. It wasn't fair for the Amazons because now they went 2 more weeks without playing a game, or another week without playing a game, and
in the playoff time, you know, you need to do what you do. They already had a bye the week before, and then they're waiting on that game. So they were off almost a month. But it doesn't help women's football. So, again, those who are making decisions on how the playoffs are going to be set up and stuff like that, you think about those things. You know, everybody needs to think about this. Does it make sense for a team to go from the far east to the west? It shouldn't be set up that way. Or from the south all the way up north to the New York area. You know, that's what I'm saying. Schedules and divisions should be set up by regions. And then those regions will play the closest region to them to go on to the next level. You know, it's understood. In Tennessee, being you got teams from the West Coast and teams from the East Coast playing each other, that's understood. But in the middle, we got to make sure that we get it done. But that's part of the scheduling. That's part of what goes on behind closed doors. And, you know, like I said, when some of the owners get their schedules, and, you know, you hear them complain. You know, if they have an opportunity to help make change, then, you know, they do. If they don't, then they got to deal with it and make it happen. You know, so, you know, that's all. That's it. You know, I think it's about that 7:30 hour. You know, Coach Lee, need to take a break real quick. Need to break it out. You know, we can talk about some halftime stuff, then we're going to move on to the next topic. Because that's what I do here on Four Quarters with Coach Lee on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Blog Talk Radio is where it's at. Blog Talk Radio is where I be. That's why they call me Coach Lee. Yes, yes, yes. All right. All right, moving on, moving on. Topic number three, or third quarter. Let's talk about Facebook. Let's talk about using Facebook. Let's talk about social networks. You know, I'm an older cat. You know, like I said, when I graduated college, the internet was just coming about. I think I was on a dial-up system back in the day, and I was like, man, if I had Facebook, Meme, MySpace, and any other social networking group back, you know, 20 years ago, there's no telling what I'll be doing right now, because it's amazing how we can all connect in this big world. And it's make it so small, you know. I'm on Facebook as myself, as Deion Lee, and as Deion A. Lee, Las Vegas Showgirls. Because, again, I have to have two identities out there so that I can separate myself from those who I do business with as a person and those that I do business with as a business or a football franchise, you know. And I love social networking. I think it's a great place to do what it's made to be. Network. Network. And that's what it should be going down as. Network. You know, it don't matter what team you play on. We should all be talking. We should all be networking. We should all be learning. That was the whole concept with the Women's Tackle Football Group, that meme.com board. Because, again, when you're isolated and you're not knowing what's going on, you have an opportunity to talk to others that are in the same boat that you're in. So if somebody asks me a question about, Coach Lee, how did you get your football field? You know, or what are the processes or the steps to get a football field? It's easily said and done with a couple of strokes of the keys on your computer. Unlike back in the day, it used to be a long-distance phone call, and you watch me every second that ticks by because they didn't have the master free calling and the long-distance plans and stuff like that, man. It used to be a lot of money to talk to somebody out of your city, let alone out of state. So the internet, these social networking boards are just great. I don't think we truly understand the power of these social networking boards. You know, as I get friends under the Las Vegas Showgirls and you know, things for the ad or whatever, I go and see that person and realize that they got 300 friends. Then I look at the next person, they got 400 friends. And, you know, I got like 680 friends. Just imagine if we can just get one, not one, I won't even say one group, but that's what the womensfootballgroup.meme.com board is all about. But what I'm trying to get at is if we really wanted to do a great push, a great marketing campaign, and everybody put, you know, blah, 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 championship game, be there, you know, imagine all the people that we can get. It's like a rallying cry. Get everybody there, you know. Imagine getting 20,000 people to come see a football game or a championship game, something worthwhile, you know. But use it to get your fan base. Why? Every team should have a page on Facebook, a team page, a fan page or something. You know, as I go through and I'm looking for teams and stuff, I'm not seeing it. And you guys are the younger generation that know how to work these boards. Talk to your management. Talk to your ownership and have them start a board for your team and try to recruit as many people as you can to the board. The same thing with the meeting board. There's no way in the world why we shouldn't have over 20,000, 30,000 fans of women's football being collectively under the Women's Tackle Football Group.name.com board. Because that's the area where it's dedicated to women's football. It's dedicated to women's football. And then you can personalize yourself on there and do all the other good stuff, but folks, we got to work this networking. The networking is what it's all about, you know. Yeah, I'm on Facebook, and I see people say, oh, I'm about to go to the bathroom. Yep. Oh, I went to the movies, you know. And some people are quoting other great artists and stuff like that. But why aren't we on here talking about women's football and getting fans and friends of ours to talk about women's football? So, again, yes, I'm a marketing guy, and I'm, like, looking at this. You got millions and millions and millions of people worldwide on Facebook, on MySpace. There's so many other social networker boards out there, I can't even name them all. But, you know, the negatives behind social networking boards, it can get real ugly. You know, all it takes is one bad apple and get things started, and then everything falls apart just that fast. Take you a long ass time to build it up, but it takes you a short time to break it. So, again, it has its perks and its benefits, and it has, you know, things to really make you say, But I think we have to use it to our advantage to really promote and put videos up there and do all the things that that showcase our sport. You should be showcasing your team. You should showcase your league. You should showcase anything that's dealing with women's football that is positive. You know, if you go to the, I think, let me see if I can click on this real quick. Let me see if that comes up. I just want to, I think the Lingerie Football League have like 2 million fans or something like that, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know if I have it on here. Because I'm not a fan of it, so I would have to look it up. But anyway, what I'm saying is they are using their marketing prowess to attain and gain fans. It can't be done by one person. It has to be done by the collective group, you guys. This is what I preach. It's power in numbers. It is power in numbers, and I keep saying that. If you go into each and every one of my shows that I've done over this past year, I would say at least 60 to 70% of those shows I made mention of power in numbers. If you got the numbers, then you got power. Again, it spreads over to sponsorship. Sponsors want to know, well, how many people are coming? Well, because they want to know how many of those people are going to be there so they know how many pieces of product they're going to sell or could sell. So, again, it's all about the numbers. So, again, if you're building up your social networking site, if you're building up your website, if you're building up, you know, the football tackle group.name.com site or your Facebook page and all that other good stuff, that's what it's about. It's that power in numbers that these social networks can do if everybody is tapping into the same sources, you know. It's easy. Go back to scheduling. Hey, I want to do a preseason game. I can go onto Facebook and put that on my profile, saying that I'm looking for games, and somebody could always tune in and say, hey, you know what? We'd be willing to play you guys. I did that last week, and I got several responses from players. They're like, ooh, I wish we could come to Vegas. Oh, I want to come to Vegas. I think we can whoop you guys up. And I, you know, as a coach and as a fan, I'm like, nah, I don't think so. I don't think so. God, you talk smack. For those who know or don't know, I love talking smack. But, you know, it's all in friendly wolf talking, you know, wolf tickets. But the bottom line is that's creating that hype. That's creating that Don King environment. The greatest promoter of all time, Don King. As soon as he fell off the block, boxing fell off the block. Because you got to create that hypeness. You got to create that energy. You have to create what you want. That's part of marketing. Again, you learn all this stuff at the women's football camp. Did I say that? You will learn a lot of this stuff at the women's football camp if you're here. But you got to be creative, and you have to be able to create the interest of the public to want to come to women's football. Again, social networking boards. Awesome. I just don't think that we as women's football folks take complete control of this tweet and Twitter and what's that? Life inbox backwards and links and all these. Man, there's so many that I don't even sign up to everything because it's the same people I see at each and every one of them. And that's why sites get burnt out. It's hot for a minute, but when you see the same people and you sign up the same friends, you know, that's where social networking kind of burns out. We got to keep creating that one network on that one network and building upon that and bringing in new people to that network instead of jumping from this network to that network to that network because, again, it's the same friends. You know, you got the same friends on every different network. So social networking. What can we do as women's football family? Is get on here and pump the crap out of what we do. Pump the crap out of your team. Pump the crap out of you. You got an MVP player on your team or you got an all-star player on your team, push her. If you got a great coach, you should be writing a blog about it. You know, create the women's football hype on the social networks. We got 4 months before the season starts. We have 4 months to build on this. And I'm not talking and I'm preaching to the choir because, again, on the women's tackle football group.neem.com board, I have a promotional group on there that have over 150 people on there and from different teams across the country. And you put together a project of something real simple to do, you got some doers, and you got some do-notters, as I make up a word as we speak here, 4 quarters with Coach Lee, each and every Monday, 7 p.m., West Coast time, that is. But, yeah, you got a lot of people who got the energy initially because you said this, and they sign up, and then you give them an assignment, and they say, work? I got to do work? Yes. In order for this thing to build, in order for this thing to get bigger, in order for it to get recognized, it's going to take work. Grassroots work. That's what it takes. And we're looking for a bunch of busy workers, each and every one of you guys who play football, who are involved in football, is a worker. Find a niche and get involved and promote it on these social networks. Eventually, you make enough noise, people will hear. Right now, we're not making anything. We can't get together and do a collective an event to generate that noise. There's no way in the world why the both of the league's championship games shouldn't have been a sellout. It was the best that both had. But what part are you doing? What part are you taking? Are you being selfish and saying, well, it ain't me, I ain't going? 99.99% of us, that's our attitude. Because I'm not in it, I'm not going. That's a piss poor attitude. As my coaching aggression comes out, that's piss poor. That's a piss poor effort. Again, I get quiet sometimes because, you know, I really have to think about it. Why are we doing this sometimes if we're not going to put forth the effort? Why are you a football player if you're not going to put forth the effort? Do you just want to put on the helmet? I know that was the case back in high school for me. We had some guys on the team who just wanted to wear that jersey. That's all they wanted to do. They didn't want to practice. They just want to be there at the game time and have everybody watching them on the sideline with that sweet jersey on, so they can get the girls that way. And we weed them out as players. We knew who wanted to be on the team and who didn't. We knew who wanted to go to do that fundraiser or that community event. You know? That's what it takes. That's why there's only small rosters across the country, because it's only a small group of you guys out there that are sacrificing to get it done. But you got to get it done on and off the field. On and off the field. And that leads me to my next quarter break. Because we're in quarter number four here in Four Quarters with Coach Lee. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. That's me, Coach Lee, giving it to you like I give it to you. Because football is what I do. Football is what I teach. Football is what I see. Football is what I preach. Here on Four Quarters of Coach Lee each and every Monday. Like I said, if you want to call in, you want to comment, just call in. 347-826-7278. Press the number one button and booyah, y'all in. You be on the air with Coach Lee. Any suggestions, any questions, or whatever? Hey, I'm here. Matter of fact, let me see if there's anybody out there on the holler line. I guess not. But anyway, like I said, we move on. We improvise. You know, hey, people are shy sometimes. There's people on here, but they shy. That's understood. But you got to ask that question. You got to know why. You got to hear the other side. You got to hear a story, something. A story, something. But the bottom line is here, yay, I'm here each and every Monday. This is Four Quarters with Coach Lee. Hey, I have special guests on this show. We have special events on this show. We talk about things that are just strictly women's football. I don't try to veer off and do anything that I'm not a professional at. I'm only going to talk to you about women's football because that's what this is all about. And if I got to do 52 shows because it's 52 weeks in a year, then I would do it. I would do it. I would do it. I would do it. So, again, put forth that effort. Like I said, the season is 4 weeks away. I mean, not 4 weeks away. Wow. 4 months away. You know, kickoff is what, April 3rd, April 10th? Hey, let's get ready. But we got to get ready now. On and off the field. On and off the field. Yes, the camp is coming up. We talked about that earlier. Womensfootballcamp.com. Check it out. But I know teams are putting together their preseason. I know teams are putting together their off-season training. I know teams are putting together their mini camps. You know, go to camp in shape. You don't have time to get to camp to get in shape. You need to be in shape so that you can get in football shape to play ball. And some of the better teams are doing that. You know, from what I'm hearing, they're starting up January 10th weekend, from what I'm hearing. Some are starting up on the 17th weekend. I know we're starting up that weekend because, again, it's football 24-7. You know, 24-7, 365 days a year. But you got to get better. And you're going to keep hearing me say that. sponsors are going to come when it's better. Fans are going to come to the game when it's better. People are going to hear about women's football when it's better on these social networking sites, when you're able to promote it. Be proud of what you do. Be proud of where you come from. Be proud of the team you play on, be it if you went undefeated last year or you were defeated last year. It don't matter. Got to be proud of what you do. If you're not proud, then who is proud? If you ain't getting better, then who will be getting better? That's how it works. That's how it goes. Like I said, we in the fourth quarter here. We in the fourth quarter, and we're talking about women's football. We talked about schedule, how difficult it is for teams to get fields. We talked about how difficult it is for committees or leagues to fulfill the schedule, because you can't satisfy everyone. You do the best that you can, and if you did your best, then that's all you can say. Just like I tell a player, if they missed the tackle and they gave it 100% effort to do the best they could and it didn't work, then that's all I can ask. If we played the best that we can possibly play for that particular night or that particular play, then that's all I can ask. I can't ask for any more than what you've already given. Can you give extra? Yeah, but is there a such thing as 110%? You only give 100% of what you got, because you ain't got an extra 10%. In the reality world, that is, 100% is what you got, 100%. And, you know, hey, we're going to see that this season. I like I said, I get a lot of emails and things of that nature. As a matter of fact, you know what? Let's talk about some of those things, some of those emails. Matter of fact, here's an email right here. Coach Lee, I'm a first-time rookie football player who's used to playing football with her brothers and cousins on Turkey Day. I'm a little nervous about going out for the team that I'm trying out for. What are some of the suggestions that you will make for a rookie player? Well, for me, everybody's going to have butterflies. But, again, you know you. You know what you can do. And you got to have an open mind and understand that just because you want to be a quarterback don't necessarily mean the team needs a quarterback right now, that you might have to play another position. Just because you want to play wide receiver and the team might not throw the ball, they might want you to be a running back. You might want to do that. So my thing is go into training camp with an open mind, work hard, do as the coaches ask you to do, and be a team player. You know, again, football is probably it's the number one sport because it takes so many of us to get that one play perfect. You know, if you watch films of a football game, it's always that one player that took off that play or who messed up that play is the reason why that play didn't work. You got 10 people working all together, and that one person who made one slip up caused that play not to work. So football is the ultimate team sport. And I would ask of anybody, rookie or veteran, to go out there with an open mind and be a team player and have the attitude that I'll do whatever it takes to win a championship. Coach, wherever you need me to play, I'm there. Might not be the position I want to play, but if the team needs me there, I am there. That is the attitude that you should take as a new player, as a rookie, and have an open mind and want to learn as much as possible. Hopefully you got good coaches that are teachers, not just coaches, not just X and O folks, but teachers, teachers of the game. That's what they got to be. All right, here we go. Let me open up one more question here. Coach Lee, I was looking at some of the team's websites and noticed that you guys are playing 8 games and the Portland team is playing 12 during the season. What are your thoughts about that? Well, for me, to be honest, you guys, you know, the more games, the merrier. You know, 8 games, personally, to me, is not enough. That's why I'm a believer of preseason games. to have extra games during your bye weeks or something like that. You know, that's up to you. You know, some people's thoughts are, you know, you're risking the season on some preseason games that don't count, or not preseason games, but some games that don't count. You know, and like I said, you know, most people get hurt, not on the football field, but just walking into a bubble gum. So, you know, my thing is this, as long as it doesn't interfere with your league schedule and you choose as an owner to add more games either before the season or after the season, should be okay. I think a good season is anywhere between 10 to 14 game season. Again, if there's more teams in the same particular region, that will make more sense. But if teams are spread out, I mean, the minimum amount of games you should be playing is 8. I think the maximum should be about 12 for the season. But, you know, each one, you know, do what they do. You know, but my thoughts is, you know, I like to know what I have on my team, especially when I'm working with so many rookies. When I got 20 to 25, 30% of my team are first-year ever players, you know, I got to find a way to mission match them into the game plan. And you got to see them under fire and under the lights. So I'm a big advocate of doing the preseason, not necessarily during the season, and even postseason. You know, after the season's over with, you know, doing a couple of bowl games or some things to help elevate the ladies, to inspire them. You know, everybody can't make the playoffs, but there could be some local bowl games, you know, sponsored by, you know, the city of or something like that, and bringing two teams in together and call it the, you know, the city bowl, you know, be it in the same league, separate leagues or whatever. It doesn't matter. It's all about promoting women's football. But that's my take on that, you know. You know, whatever teams, you know, do what they do, you know, it's about promoting your team. If you got to play more home games and you got to find some independent teams to do that, to get a better fan base, to get the news out there, to get the girls inspired to want to play, you know, because the season is long, but it's really short. 8 games. That's not many. But anyway, let me see if I got time to do one more email, camping conference email. Coach, I just registered for the camp. Not sure if there's rooms. Yes, there are rooms at the that I know that there's a couple of suites available over at the Rio All Suite Hotel. You can go to womensfootballcamp.com and register on there if you're looking for a room. Or you can always call the Comfort Inn, which is right across the street from UNLV, which helps cut the cost down because you don't have to worry about a rental car or whatever if you're flying in town. I think the airport is like a mile away from UNLV. The hotel is right across the street. So, you know what? You got to check up on that. I'm hearing some noise in the background. I'm hearing some music. Sound like my PE Public Enemy number one, because that's the end of the ball game. You've been rocking 4 quarters with Coach Lee. You've been rocking 4 quarters with Coach Lee. You know, my show is always brought to you by Enterprise. Why? Because they'll pick you up. And also Adidas. My Adidas, your Adidas, we Adidas, we all should be sporting Adidas. Why? Because they support women's sports. Why? Because they support women's football. Why? Because they were part of the women's football camp and conference. Hey, that's my time. That's where it's at. That's where it goes. Tune in next week. Because I'm on here each and every Monday talking about women's football. If you feel you got something to say, you got something to do, you can always call in. 347-826-7278. Once again, 347-286-7287. I'm Coach Lee, and I'm out of here. Throughout.